It's time for Supply Chain Now. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia. Heard around the world, Supply Chain Now spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. And now, here are your hosts.
Hey, good afternoon. Scott Luton and Greg White with you here on Supply Chain Now. Welcome to today's show. Greg, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great because we're about to talk to my favorite motor company. So,
and one of your favorite topics, of course,
yes, being automotive. Of course.
Yep. So, Greg, as you know, on this episode, we're continuing our collaboration with the one and only AIAG organization, Automotive Industry Action Group. And it's really all tied to the AIAG 2020 Supply Chain Summit that's coming up here in November. So, Greg, did you bring your work gloves?
I did.
All right.
I'm ready.
You're working really hard to increase your supply chain IQ here with an outstanding guest. Hey, one quick programming note before we get started here. If you enjoy this episode, be sure to find us and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. Don't miss a single episode. You won't miss conversations like this that we've got teed up with our new friend, Rachel Saransky, who is with the Purchasing Program Control Department for Electric Vehicles at Ford Motor Company. Rachel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing fantastic.
Yeah,
really.
Great. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
We are too. We really enjoyed our collaboration with folks that are part of the AIAG team, folks that are members, folks that are involved in their programming, and this is going to continue that string of hits. Rachel, welcome to Podcast Hits Town, southern location, or southern branch,
Muscle Shoals, where all the best podcasts are made.
Right. So, kidding aside, let's dive right in, Rachel. First, before we get to work and all the cool things you're doing there at Ford, tell us about yourself. Where'd you grow up? And give us a eureka moment, you know, from your upbringing.
All right. So I am born and raised in Michigan. I come from a small town called New Baltimore. Not a lot of people know where that's from.
New Baltimore. Is that right?
Yep. New Baltimore. Okay. Very, very east side, kind of, I guess, towards Port Huron. And I actually just recently bought a house, a new homeowner. So I just bought a house in St. Clair Shores. Yeah. So I'm enjoying everything that comes with that title and all the projects. So are my dad and brother. And a eureka moment that I've had, it's funny you guys asked this, actually. I am currently studying towards my MBA at Wayne State, and I'm in a management class, and that's one of the exercises we were given. It was to think of all these different milestones and what it shaped you into the person you are today. This was one of the items growing up. Was, and it's kind of silly to me now at this age, but 7-year-old Rachel, apparently it really shaped her. And so it was, if anybody who has kids or if you're familiar with it, the Zubu at Detroit Zoo.
Okay.
We were at that event with my mom. I think I was like 7 years old with my brother and our family friend. And at that time I was just kind of watching from afar, and it's crazy. It's dark and it's hectic. Everybody's running every way. And you always come with a large group, so it's like everyone's trying to keep everyone corralled and together. And I watched a little boy run off from his mom, and the mom walked the other way. And at the time, I remember like inside freaking out for the little boy. And I watched both of them freak out at separate times and couldn't find the other person. And so I remember like running over really quick and grabbing the little boy and bringing him over to his mom. And, you know, both automatically were like, thank you so much. They calmed down. It was good. And right then and there, I think is when I like really started to realize my purpose, which is kind of cool that I got to realize that at a young age. I know people kind of struggle with that their whole lives. And I think that actually kind of set the tone for the type of leader I would become. And I realize at 7, you don't know what leader you want to be. You just know what a leader is as like the lunch line leader to recess. But it was a great awakening moment for me, for sure, to realize, you know, I definitely love helping people. And even to this day, anytime I see people really stressed out or overwhelmed, I feel for them and I try to do anything I can to help them. And I think that's definitely kind of set my purpose going forward. I've then taken on a lot of roles where I was able to help in leadership positions, give back and things like that. So I think 7-year-old Rachel's moment was my eureka moment growing up.
Greg, that is awesome. Wouldn't you want to work alongside a Rachel?
Well, imagine that viewpoint, right, where you're sitting there and you can watch them walking away from one another and you're 7 years old and you know what to do. there was a little bit of leadership in you even before that point, I think. So
it might have been fear. I feel like my parents like instilled in us the fear to get lost. Don't get lost from us. But you know what? Maybe leadership.
I was afraid the punchline was going to be you got lost from your parents. But so Zubu is where you go and do trick-or-treating at the zoo in Detroit, right? So
yes.
The kid was in a costume too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right?
That's pretty impressive.
Thanks. He was little, so it was hard to see people for sure.
All right. So clearly you have become a leader because you're involved in not just Ford. I keep wanting to say FOMOCO Ford, but also with the electric vehicle program. So look, I think most of us know the obvious things that Ford Motor Company does. Tell us maybe something about the company that we might not be obvious to the everyday person about Ford Motor Company.
This is another topic near and dear to my heart. Ford Motor Company is great, and I'll try to keep this brief because I don't want to be on here all day and on my soapbox because obviously I'm biased, right? I work for them. One thing that I didn't know coming into Ford and I recently got involved in once I started was Ford has a philanthropy. It's called the Ford Fund. It's our segment that reaches out to the community and gives back on behalf of Ford Motor Company. And I guess, you know, when you think of Ford, like you mentioned, like I knew we were a mobility company and we had smart designs, you know, solutions for a smart world. So that's great. But I had no idea how much we give back and how we give back. And so Ford actually offers a leadership program to younger employees who are interested in giving back to the community. And again, that's something that is really near and dear to my heart. Mm. And so it's called the Ford 30 Under 30 program. And so I was able to be a fellow of one of their 2019 class. I got to partake in kind of seeing how they give back to the community and how much they do. So I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with like the PPE and the ventilators stepping up there and right. Not that, but all the different things we do in the community. You know, I'm always like reading the news articles and, you know, some of the things is like giving a ride to somebody who's helping back out into the community and things like that. And so that's probably one of my favorite parts about Ford is being able to not only do what we do, but then step and watch back about how we give back to the community. It really warms my heart. And it's really exciting that they let the employees of any skill division, you don't have to be an employee of the Ford Fund, be able to partake and give back to community. I think that's really awesome that you get the best of both worlds as an employee.
Two questions. I'd love to hear about what your role is and, you know, what you can tell us about how you spend your day. Sometimes the title doesn't really define what your day-to-day role is. But before you do that, what's your favorite Ford vehicle?
Ooh, so I don't know because we're launching a lot of cool ones.
Your favorite one that you can tell us about?
Okay, fair. Definitely the Ford Bronco. I just, you know, we got to see that unveiled recently and I am a true small SUV type of gal. And so I'm really excited because the Ford Bronco Sport is adorable and probably my next car.
There you go. All right. So tell us about what you do on a day-to-day basis.
So day-to-day basis, like previously mentioned, I am in purchasing program control and I'm an analyst there for one of our electric vehicle programs. And so a lot of people are like, what is that? You know, is it program management? And it's, I guess that's the closest avenue if I had to give a short and sweet tie it up explanation. But what essentially it is you are helping lead from the purchasing side of things, a program from its infancy all the way up to job one when it hits production. And so day to day is just working with our buyers as well as our engineers to make sure we're on track for sourcing and getting all the parts ready to go and bought and you know, tested, everything that needs to happen prior to being able to manufacture that vehicle.
Which is a massive program. It's, you know, Greg, as we've talked about here, we've talked about metal stamping and that's just one of the thousands of components that go into vehicles. Rachel, I tell you, having dabbed a little bit in the automotive industry, you know, you don't know crunch time and job one unless you have really been in that industry. So it's amazing all the complexity that's involved in automotive supply chains and how much leadership and management it takes, you know, for us to enjoy these vehicles that are so close to the heart.
And considering that it's electric vehicles, where in the supply chain and even the products, some of which are brand new. Right. So that's got to be an added level of complexity.
It's excitement. I mean, it's complex, but it's cool. You're on groundbreaking, you know, technology or groundbreaking situations that nobody else has been in. So you get to be you know, kind of start to lead the way. I really have enjoyed my time on programs for sure.
So you definitely have your eye on the future working with electrical or with electric vehicles. So when you take a look at the broader supply chain, what's going on in supply chain today? What do you see in terms of trends or topics, concerns or challenges or opportunities that's really got, is in the forefront of your mind right now?
Yeah. So the big thing for me right now is, I previously mentioned how I love working with people and giving back. I'm a big like collaboration person. And so being, you know, in the pandemic, we've been working from home as have most people in the automotive industry since March and for the, you know, foreseeable future right now till June. I have really missed being able to work with colleagues and be able just to like look over and have normal everyday conversations, especially when, you know, you want a break maybe. And so the biggest thing to me is work culture, workplace culture for sure. And not being able to have that in person and now having to see how it's going to play out virtually. In the beginning, I won't lie, I struggled really hard with it. And now it's gotten better, but I also really do appreciate the situation that we're in because yet again, I got to see how Ford Motor Company reacts and responds to situations. And so they've done a great job making sure we are continuing our culture going forward, even if it has to be virtual. And again, doing a great job, you know, bringing in the help of their employees to keep it, not necessarily from the top down, but from the bottom up even, and keeping the workplace culture steady. So that's something I love to review on LinkedIn or just different scholarly journals about, you know, current companies and how they're keeping their workplace culture alive, you know, because that I know just from coming from being a student to an employee, the first thing I looked for in any company was, do their values match up with mine? And do I like their workplace culture? Do I get along with what they are deeming is their workplace culture? And so that has been the biggest thing, is making sure that I am helping that stay in my company and also reading up and seeing what others are doing. Can we implement the same?
You know, Greg, a few months back, we were talking about some of the news that Ford put out about the big project to renovate the headquarters. And part of that was to appeal, what didn't start and stop there, but they were talking about how to really appeal to the top talent industry. And it, Greg, it seems like some of what they're doing is working with Rachel, because when I hear her speak her point of view and kind of the broader picture that she's painting, you know, who wouldn't want to, you know, work with folks like Rachel, right? With that passion for leadership and action, which we talk so much about. So clearly something's working really well with the Ford formula, Rachel.
It's been rolled out little by little, more and more on the renovations to our workplace and the new look of what we'll come back to once we are able to go back in person. And so I'm really looking forward to it and everything coming forward.
Love it. And Greg, you did not ask me my favorite Ford vehicle, so I'm going to answer it as if you did ask me.
Hey, Scott, yes. I have a question for you. What would you say is your favorite Ford vehicle?
So I never owned one, but I was in them plenty. I had several friends all had the Bronco 2, right? The kind of the scaled down version of the full Bronco. And we loved those vehicles. I mean, loved them. So, you know, hopefully I can kick the tires and get on the waiting list for the new Bronco. But that was a big part of my formative years. Speaking of things we love, we're all big fans here and we're very transparent about it, of AIAG, right? The Automotive Industry Action Group. As Greg and I have alluded to 1,000 times, they got action in the name and you see it. There's no lip service in this group.
Action in action.
Yeah. That's right. Action in action. It should be a movie. Action Jackson. I think it was a movie back in the day. So Rachel, you know, in your involvement, you shared a little bit, you know, kind of pre-show with us, which we want to dive into a little bit here. What's been some of your favorite aspects of being involved in the AIAG organization?
Yeah. So I got really fortunate with AIAG. God, they've opened so many doors for me. I'll never be able to repay them. So I actually got to intern with AIAG, which I know a lot of people don't get that experience. So that was, I'm very, very grateful. And I interned for them my senior year of college. And so it was great. I got to meet a lot of the different key participants who play a major role in AIAG today. And it was really nice. Talk about like workplace culture and really liking where you work and who you work with. That was great. I would really enjoy coming into work. And mind you, that was actually a work from home internship. But at the time, now I'm much better at working from home. But there, that was when I really first struggled with working from home. So I asked, you know, like, hey, I know, can I, you know, I'm supposed to work from home. Would you mind if I just came in once or twice a week to do the internship there? And they let me. And that was great because I also got to talk to a lot of people weekly and have those chit chats that I really, really appreciated and wouldn't have gotten when I worked from home. And they've done a great job. You know, I've been asked to come speak at a couple different events from them since interning. And it's probably one of my favorite events. And every year I get asked, I'm so excited. And I'm so grateful because I really appreciate everything they do for the automotive industry. And I'm so, so grateful that I was able to, one, have a role in it, and two, be able to meet everybody I was. I can't speak more highly about AIAG and everything they've done for me personally, but also for the industry.
They need to bottle this and make it a commercial if they need commercial. And that's a really good example of how an internship can work to help you find your career position as well, right? So we're always encouraging young professionals, students to take an internship.
Yep. And we're encouraging companies to give more of them and put resources into those programs. Yeah. Our little organization here, we've got four interns, which we don't like that name intern. We've renamed them the associates because, you know,
that's a movie title.
I was going to say, isn't it though?
Yeah, I think it is.
But you know, we want to, as you speak to Rachel, clearly you are contributing early on in your journey. And we want to, you know, we don't want any title to get in the way of how folks interpret their role. So, but to Greg's point, yeah, absolutely. We need to create more opportunities for these internship programs because and use your words, Rachel, it opened up so many doors for you. That side is great to hear about AIAG. You also spoke to their industry involvement, you know, the way they're bringing a wide variety of perspectives and best practices to solve the challenges of our day, both in the automotive industry and really beyond, because as we all know, so many other industries are impacted and can learn from the automotive industry. So really big fans of the programming and looking forward to the summit. Greg, as we start to wrap here with Rachel, you know, in your words, you know, based on what you've heard Rachel share about her involvement with AIAG and what they do, what's one of your big favorite things about them?
Well, I think that, you know, it's hard to overestimate the value of the internship, but I think what's really fascinating to me is, Rachel, technically you are Gen Z.
Yes.
And you want to work in person with people. And I think that the value of that is not lost and, in fact, is a big part of who you are is really encouraging because I think I wonder now in this time if we're not all appreciating working with in person with people more than we did. So, you know, we've heard a lot about how the workplace is going to change, a lot about companies that are never going back and things like that. I just wonder about that, right? I mean, there's a lot of valuable, more than just socialization. It is nice, by the way, to have somebody who you can throw a pencil at or whatever when at work, but also someone, you know, a lot of creativity. And as you're working on the future, a lot of creativity happens around the water cooler or somebody's burned popcorn or whatever. So I think it's encouraging that is valued.
A lot of things will change. A lot of things are timeless and won't change. And we all, you know, speaking of how do we act when we get back together, Greg and our families got together for a meal in recent weeks, and we weren't exactly sure how to shake hands and you know, act and space and
yeah,
right. And but, I'm a hugger, so that's a problem.
Yeah.
But we're all craving to get back and have these great events like the 2020 Supply Chain Summit in person where we can really connect on a variety of levels. But Rachel, you know, you're going to have to come back with us so we can take a deeper dive into some of these things that you're sharing. You know, a lot of what you're thinking, how you perceive industry and your work and your employer and the culture, as you put it. A lot of folks are looking to put their finger on the pulse of those elements right there and hear what the best and brightest are thinking. But how can they connect with you?
Definitely through my LinkedIn, Rachel Suryansky. Feel free to reach out, connect. Yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to just message me. Happy to answer.
Really enjoyed this interview. Thanks for your time. As busy as you are, Rachel, we look forward to reconnecting at the summit. And to our audience, hey, you can still sign up for the summit. And Greg, I got a little secret.
What?
It's really inexpensive. I mean, they make it really easy. We make it really easy. One click on the show notes that you'll find this episode. You pop over there. I think it's $29 for a member, $49 if you're not a member, to really jump in and get a full day of best practices and programming. So, Greg, I got to ask you one final time, out of all that Rachel shared, and you touched on a little bit with my last question of you, but what's one of your favorite things that Rachel shared here today as we close?
Clarity of purpose. Undoubtedly, clarity of purpose. I mean, it's like we meet a lot of people. We meet very few that have this clarity of purpose in terms of what they want to contribute to work and society and that sort of thing. So I think that's really outstanding.
Agreed.
Thank
Keep
you.
Doing that.
I will. Don't worry. Thanks.
I have no doubt.
Clarity is a beautiful thing for sure. But to our listeners, hopefully you've enjoyed this as much as Greg and I have. We've been chatting with Rachel Saransky with the Ford Motor Company, doing some big things there, innovative things there with Ford. Rachel, thanks so much for your time, and we will see you back again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep. To our listeners, hopefully you've enjoyed this again on behalf of our entire team here. Hey, you know, check out more conversations just like this at supplychainnow.com. The radio is gone. Supplychainnow.com. You can find us wherever you get your podcast from. Hey, be like Rachel. Do good, give forward, and be the change that's needed. On that note, we'll see you next time here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.